Let me say good afternoon to everyone. I want to thank all the brothers that have preceded me in their participation in this worship service on this afternoon. I want to thank you also for being with us this afternoon to hear another portion of God's Word. If you're on the call this afternoon and you have not obeyed the gospel and become a Christian, I want you to know regarding your spiritual soul that Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then Jesus came along when he did the Sermon on the Mount and gave man direction of the place where salvation can be found when he shared with those to whom he preached, taught on that day in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So one should be seeking the kingdom of God. And as was read in our hearing this afternoon, John in his writing talked about Nicodemus' interaction, a conversation with Christ. When Christ shared with him in John 3:3, he answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that which Jesus said one should see, Jesus shared how one can see the kingdom by being born again in that spiritually. And then in Acts 2:47, the Bible records Luke wrote, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. If you're on the call this afternoon, our desire is that you will be saved by obeying the will of God and doing those things that God has instructed us to do, the commands he's given, and the obedience that's necessary to become a Christian. And at the close of the message, I will share with you specifically what one must do. However, on this afternoon, want to pick up with one final point that we made from this morning message entitled, and be in health, even as thy soul prospered. So we talked this morning about that prayer that the Apostle John had written to a young Christian about financial, physical, and spiritual well-being. He talked about it was a prayer for equality, financially, physically, and, as the case was, spiritually. So on this morning, we spoke about from the Word of God, how one can be financially a God, the guidelines that God has given us using scripture to show what God talks about, how man can direct himself financially, relationship-wise, and in our relationships, how oftentimes in the Christian walk, the challenge financially sometimes can overwhelm us if we don't manage and do those things. So we talked this morning about the management of our finances and how work is in part of that, how education has this role in the workplace and how those things benefit us. And then secondly, we talked about our health, how God has given us guidelines as it relates to dietary health, exercise, and also taking care of yourself mentally and emotionally, because sometimes environments, circumstances can put a strain on man that can affect your physical health because of the pressures and stresses of life if we're not able to handle them as we find in the Word of God. So we talked about that and exercise for the Christian. From the Word of God, we share those things. And so on this afternoon, we want to look at that final point that John shared with Gaius, in the fact that his soul would also prosper. That his soul, we talked about his finances, we talked about his health, and now we want to speak to that soul. And I want to begin, if you'll meet with me, in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and the verse is number 16. I want to share with us, one, when we talk about money and finances, I want to share that one can be rich monetarily and be poor spiritually. One can be rich monetarily, however, be poor spiritually. Look at the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 12 and beginning at verse 16. The Bible says that he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And so sometimes in life, we can, and we talked this morning about how even when God has blessed us, that we share those blessings with others. But in this case, this man, as we see, the eye, there was no socialization from this man that we see in the scripture. It was all about me. And so he said, he thought that he had many years that he could just put up his goods, he said, for many years. But I want us to know that God can intervene in our lives when we are doing well monetarily. The Bible says in verse 20, Jesus said, but God said unto him, thy food, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Jesus said to this man, Jesus called him a fool in the sense that one is a fool when I don't show good judgment, when I look at just working and earning money is all that my life. I have no relationship. And so I would ask you, if you are a Christian, if you as a Christian were this person, the question you may want to ask yourself is, what is my relationship with God? We know you are successful on the job. You're making money. You can move into a larger home. You can do other things. You can buy an extra car. But the question on the floor is, what is your relationship with God and making all of those money? And I want to say to those of us that are Christians, do not allow yourself to put your job before the Lord and worshiping of the Lord. You know, and what I'm saying to us, let me be clear, is that If I have a job and it requires me to work on Sunday, that I'm not free to worship. I want to do all that I can within my power to those, my supervisor, asking that I can change my schedule. If my schedule can be adjusted, that I can worship God, and then also I may not just worshiping God, but also being available to serve God. And so God told him, or Jesus said to him in verse number 21, he said, so is he that layeth up treasure or money for himself and is not rich toward God. And so when we talk about that equality of being blessed financially, physically, and spiritually, you must have a relationship with God that that relationship allows you to interact with God through his word. And as I said this morning, that you are led by the Spirit of God. We find again Romans 8:14. Paul talked about those that are the sons of God. He said it was those people who are led. Let me read that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And so the Spirit of God leads you through the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God and incorporate the Word of God in your life. That's how the Word of God leads you. You know, I'll ask the question, put making money before your service to God. And so I want to talk just briefly on that spiritual side, that soul that we have that's going to live somewhere forever. You know, this morning we talked about the widow woman. I want to show you where the Bible records 1 Timothy chapter 5, and the verse is number 6, because I want to talk to those Christians that may be living a carnal lifestyle. You may be attending worship service, but you know, and more importantly, God knows, that you are not living as a Christian. You are doing those things that those carnal pleasures. As the Bible says, look in 1 Timothy 5, and the verse is number 6, where Paul wrote about this particular widow. He said, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. If you are a Christian and you're giving in to those appetites that are carnal in nature, that are things that Christians ought not be indulging in, I want you to know you may be in the same condition as this person that Paul spoke about. She was dead while she was physically alive. She was spiritually dead. So what is the answer to those, when I have those desires in me? Well, I think the Christian must fight those temptations that could affect your soul. Look in 1 Peter chapter number 2, and the verse is number 11. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 11, regarding your soul. Note what Peter wrote in that epistle. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, realizing that we're simply travelers through this earth. This is not our home. We are strangers now to the world, because now we are part of the church, those that are called out of the world into the church. So we are strangers to the world. Peter said, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter encourages us that it is your personal responsibility to abstain or to hold oneself from those fleshly, carnal desires that all of us have in our bodies. We are to, Peter said, abstain yourself from those lusts which war against the soul. There is a spiritual struggle in the Christian, and we have to realize that's in every Christian, that war that goes on in the Christian. As Paul said, Peter said it in 1 Peter 2:11. Paul also talks about it in Romans chapter number 7, and the verse is 23. Paul said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. He said, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. But Paul said before then, we have to grow to the point where verse 21 and 22, Paul says, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That's the law of sin. But Paul said, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. So Paul let us know as he began in chapter number 8, he said, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You are led by the Spirit. Then that's the one that we need to recognize if I want to be on that spiritual level that God would have me to be, that John prayed for Gaius would have in his life. We have to understand that in us, Paul said in Romans 8 and 8, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You cannot live according to the flesh and please God. You have to be led by the Spirit of God through the Word of God to do those things that God would have us to do. And so I want to close with the prayer that the Apostle Paul gave to the church, going back to this morning's text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 23, where Paul said, and the very God of peace, that's who God is. God is the God of peace. He says, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the spiritual standard of how rich a Christian may safely become, one in which financially I'm well. And so when I think about that wellness of the Word of God and how one can live their life, I think of a scripture that was given in Proverbs 30:5, and I talk about financially, where I want to be financially. Well, in Proverbs 30 and verse 8, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, said, remove from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me. So the desire is that I don't want to be poor. I don't necessarily want to be rich. But, Lord, you know what I can handle. Give me that which is convenient for me. And so we talked about that, and Paul's prayer was for the body, that it be preserved. And the word preserved means to be kept safe. He said, and blameless without blame. He said, until the coming of the Lord. And so as I close this afternoon, I go back to John's writing, two scriptures to encourage us that John said in 1 John chapter number 1, and the verse is number 7. John said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and that blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, notice now, if we confess our sin, those of us that are Christians, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we just have to live the best we can through the Word of God, led by the Spirit of God. And then my closing scripture where John, before he closed that first letter, he said in 1 John 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And so I just want to encourage us that as we live in this life, you're going to have those challenges. And we know from the Word of God that God gives us the answer to those challenges. When I fall short, John has given me the prescription to become whole again with the Lord, knowing that when this life is over, eternal life is ours through our obedience to the Lord and living to the best of our ability. And so as John said, his prayer, my prayer for all of us, is that we be in health, even a prosper, and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, you first need to come in contact with the blood of Christ. I shared at the offset how one must seek the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ. How one enter that, we find in the scripture. You are not a child of God until you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:15. You have to obey the gospel. And how does one obey the gospel? In Romans chapter 6, the Bible records, Paul says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Right now, if you're on the call this afternoon, you're not a member of the Lord's church. You're in your sins. You don't have to stay that way because Paul said, God forbid, how shall we, now that are dead to sin, you can die to sin this afternoon, living the longer therein. How do one die to sin? He said, know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. So you have to hear the gospel, the three facts that Jesus Christ loved us, God loved us, Jesus Christ died for our sin, he was buried in a tomb, he rose the third day, never to die again. You must imitate what Jesus did. You must die. He died for sin. You must die to sin. You must be buried in water. That's baptism, where Paul said, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. But before then, you must not only hear the gospel, believe it, repent of your sin, make the confession found in Acts 8:37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be water baptized for the remission of sin, and the Lord will add you to the church, Romans 16:16. And then Paul said, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If you're one that want to obey the gospel and become a Christian, you heard the message today, it's prick your heart, you want to obey the Lord, simply get with the person that invited you on the call. They will get in contact with us, and we will make it happen where you can be baptized and added to the Lord, have your sin washed away and be added to the Lord. Until you do that, you're still in your sin. And Jesus said in John 8:21, if a person die in their sins, where he is, you cannot come. I thank you very much for your patience on this afternoon.